Jesus addressed the crowds, saying, "This is a wicked generation. It is asking for a sign. The only sign it will be given is the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. On Judgment Day, the Queen of the South will rise up with the men of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And there is something greater than Solomon here. On Judgment Day, the men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation and condemn it, because when Jonah preached, they repented. And there is something greater than Jonah here. This wicked generation is asking for a sign." According to Matthew, the reference is to the scribes and Pharisees. They had just witnessed the miracle of the casting of a demon, and they said it was only thanks to Beelzebul, the chief of the demons, that Jesus had the power to drive out the devils. They had seen many miracles, but as if these were not enough, they asked for another sign, another miracle. And Jesus does give them another sign, but in another sense. It is the sign of Jonah, which, in other words, is an appeal for conversion. Jonah was a sign for the people of Nineveh. He urged them to change their lives and turn to God. And now it is the Son of Man, Jesus himself, who is doing the same appeal. The theme of conversion recurs constantly in the preaching of Christ and of his church. It is not a theme reserved only for Lent. Conversion is continuous and dynamic. It is a lifelong process. Psalm 51 expresses this very well in many vivid expressions. Let me just mention two of them. "Wash me more and more from my sins." And again, "My sin is always before me." The first one, "wash me more and more from my sins," does not only indicate the fact that we continue to sin and are constantly in need of forgiveness. It also implies the desire to overcome sin and to be always clean in front of God. This second expression, "my sin is always before me," is not a sort of guilt complex. It is sin forgiven, for which we must always be grateful to God. It is good to forgive and forget, but let us never forget that we are forgiven. The Gospels emphatically teach us that conversion demands humility. Humility is self-awareness, which therefore makes us aware that we are in need of conversion and therefore in need of God's mercy. One of the most shocking statements of our Lord is when he rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees, telling them that the tax collectors and the harlots will enter before them in the kingdom of heaven. The reason is because they are more disposed to acknowledge that they are in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. The Pharisee who, according to the parable, entered the temple to boast of his good deeds, in other words, was thereby telling God, "I do not need your mercy, for I am good enough." He was thus refusing to acknowledge that he too was in need of conversion. Today we are celebrating the feast of Saint Teresa of Avila, one of the greatest mystics and spiritual writers of all times. In her writings, she refers to what she terms her second conversion, a profound spiritual experience, a turning point, which opened a new chapter in her spiritual life. Saint Teresa was not alone in speaking of such a second conversion. Many other saints have spoken of similar experiences. In a letter written while he was in chains, the letter to the Philippians, Saint Paul describes Christian life in a remarkably vivid language. "I am still running," he says, "trying to capture the prize for which Christ Jesus captured me. I strain ahead for what is still to come. I am racing for a finish, for the prize to which God calls us upwards to receive in Christ Jesus." Indeed, conversion is a process and a progress, never being satisfied with the status quo. It is a movement forward, a pilgrimage of constant conversion experienced in humility and with Christian hope.